We're talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's.
That's right.
High school.
That's right.
Catholic school.
All those things.
That A thing is too big for me.
Hey, I understand. It's that. St. Bernard's.
Yeah.
Always will be.
Thank you very much, sir. This time of year's got to be halfway active for you. Obviously, we've got Easter.
We have Easter.
Okay, kind of starting the month off. You've got all the college final wrap-up, all that kind of stuff, so the kids are all kind of ready to go after they take their tests and they push off. Yeah, registration that's been kind of going on. But it's also the time to kind of plan for the summertime when some of the capital improvements occur.
Absolutely.
What are you looking at this go around to be able to use the, well, euphemistically referred to as downtime, to be able to do for the plant and facility?
You know, we're thinking big, Brian. We're thinking new facility. We're thinking all new
this
classrooms.
Summer?
No, the planning is this summer, right?
Oh, okay.
Additional planning,
okay.
Right? It's all about stages and timeline and fundraising and having those meetings with folks that'll support private education here in Humboldt County. So yeah, it's always, we're always meeting. We'll talk about classroom rigor. We'll talk about, you know, teaching and instruction, curriculum. All that happens in the summer. But you alluded to you know, the college piece, and I do want to share with you that we have a student, Raymond. He's got a wonderful family that runs a business up in McKinleyville. Raymond, one of our seniors, just heard from Yale, and Yale said yes to Raymond.
Did Raymond say yes to Yale?
You know what? He is absolutely going to go to Yale. I'm going to say that for him. I'm going to say that for him, and this is why. I had the pleasure of talking to a local lawyer who graduated in 1990 from Yale, and he's been interviewing all those folks that make that round, you know, that apply it to Yale and make that round. He's the local guy that sits down with them.
Oh, he's like the alumni contact.
He is.
So
it's big. Yeah, he's not quite a gatekeeper, but he definitely adds a layer to their application. And he talked at length yesterday, and I'm going to have him come in and meet with our juniors because he's got quite the insight. But you know, he said he's met with about 30 of our local kids over 10 years, an hour each time. And in all that time, Raymond is number two. Raymond is the second local student to get a yes. So it's a pretty big deal. And for additional perspective, for Yale, this is how he put it. A student with a 4.3, 4.4 GPA, you know, doesn't matter. Couple that with a 1500 plus. Again, top score is a 1600. He said those kids are grains of sand on the beach. Grains of sand on the beach. They've done everything right, but they're still just grains of sand on the beach. And you really have to do something to stand out on that beach. And for Raymond, he's just a great leader at the school.
It's the person.
It's the person. Yes, it's the actions he took as a leader, building a bridge between our local community and our international community. Raymond is a U.S. citizen, but he also is bilingual. And he went out of his way year after year to build a community for our international kids. So pretty special to get a yes.
Well, that's I would suspect that that's one of the things, at least when we were going through, I'll speak for you, even mm-hmm. though you were kind of on the tail end of my era.
Oh, yeah.
The way back tail end, is that either you had the book kids or you had the community kids.
Right.
Very rare were there recognition of one or the other. So I was able to sneak through with the 3.0, but doing some other stuff. Okay,
right.
Fine, no big deal. Others that were 4 points in uh-huh. the days when 4 point was 4 point. And there wasn't too much need for the other. Is it a recognition now that just being academic isn't going to help you out, but the lack of academics is really going to hinder you so that you really won't be as successful as you might otherwise be in our setting, and we're all about the culture at our school. Pick a school, USA.
Right, right. And for the parents listening, you think, you know, what boxes do we need to check, or what boxes do we need our kids to check? And I got an email from the president of Notre Dame, you know, just last week. And he said, Paul,
first name basis?
Yeah, Paul. I'll show you the email, Paul.
No.
Yeah.
That's like new respect for Mr. Shanahan.
Well,
now.
No, it's actually respect for the way he runs his organization. I mean, I heard back from him, in under 3 hours, personal email. But, you know, again, he says there are so many, so many wonderful applicants right now. I just don't, you know, I don't have the spots. Schools don't have the spots. So to your question, you can do everything on the academic side, and you can be a great athlete, and you can be the ASB president. And again, you're just one of thousands that they have to choose from.
So do the kids then need to, or prospective students, I guess, also, need to do more research to really finally hone those schools that they want to go to, those communities that they want to be part of? Or do they go the other way and just go blah, all over, and they apply to 50 schools hoping that one or two may have a chair that they can warm?
You know, that the data is there. They'll show you exactly who's getting the yes, right? What, so do you fit in those categories? Are you in the top 30% of that group? Are you in the middle of that group? Because just because you're in that average group doesn't mean you're gonna get a yes, but absolutely apply at that point. We get more yeses than nos, even at places that are turning away 70,000-80,000 kids. I mean, just hearing, you know, 70,000 kids got nos from some of our UCs, just individual UCs. Now, if you have like a 3.5 and you haven't done much in leadership, you really shouldn't spend the money on an application to a Stanford or a Harvard where you're looking at 4%. Yale, it's 1 in 17 of those spectacular kids are going to get a yes. So you've got to be spectacular, and then 1 of 17 spectacular will get a yes.
Now, is that true for all Ivy League schools?
All Ivy League schools are difficult to get into. Harvard is the most difficult. Yale's numbers, again, direct from Neil, it's 1 in 17 of these great kids.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's. Paul, the collegiate experience, or the process of determining your collegiate experience, you mentioned the UCs kick a whole bunch of folks out. Of course, you know my predilection, but I still contend that there's a lot of schools in the Midwest that if kids knew about.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of a sudden, they come on the radar screen, and it's not a secondary educational experience. It's, okay, yes, you have to leave the state.
Right.
Okay, so there's the separation.
And you take it one step further to the East Coast. I mean, you can stand in Boston and let's throw tennis balls and not rocks in any direction, and you're going to hit different universities. You know, you just can reach out, walk down the street, and run into a bunch of universities. So for a kid in Humboldt County, we drive further to get to Hoop Off for a basketball game than those kids on the East Coast do to visit five different schools. I mean, that's hard to even wrap your head around.
Oh, it's so different. But it's kind of cool then for the kids if they have that inclination.
Right.
To be able to go. Campus visits obviously are a little bit more challenging.
They are. You know, we just had Amy Sperling talk to our juniors just a while ago. And she's one of our St. Bernard's graduates that did go to the East Coast. And, you know, she said, you know, it's a culture shift too. I mean, I think the Midwest you mentioned might fit a little bit more comfortably, our Humboldt County kids, but the landing at an East Coast university is going to be a culture shift no matter which school you're coming out of Humboldt. And that adds a layer. But then if you can push through like Amy did, survive that difference, learn from it, you know, maintain who you are, well, that opens all those doors too in business. You know, she was recognized as CFO of the year in Boston a couple years ago, and that's because she's resilient, she's persistent, and, you know, she's bright. But those opportunities came because she went to the East Coast for school.
Yeah, and how tough is it when you're working, let's say you're working with a sophomore, or a junior, you know, somebody who it's not all out on the table right now, just say, well, what are you looking for?
A girlfriend.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. Because I'm thinking the networking, the culture of the schools, the alumni, all those things that kids don't think about.
Right.
Are really what can make the experience extraordinary.
Absolutely. I look back, you know, why spend the money on a private university? You do get smaller class sizes, you get that connection with professors, but you are surrounded by people of means, people of wealth, and people of connections. And so is that worth the student debt versus, hey, you know, I'll go to a JC, save tens of thousands, and then go off to finish my 4 year. It's a different experience. And you and I have lived long enough. I mean, we're pretty darn old. I see some gray, just a little bit of gray there in your beard.
Oh, you find gray.
That's wisdom. But
that implies there's still hair. That's good.
Any route. I mean, we have Tommy Brown, who just finished early at UC Santa Cruz, went to CR, did great, had a plan, and shot right through. And, you know, he's been picked up by a big firm. You know, he's got a job. The exact job he wanted. So you don't need to spend $140,000. You don't. But there are some benefits to getting outside and stretching yourself, running up against the world, whether it's in the Midwest, the East Coast, Southern California. Lord knows that's a lot different than Humboldt County. You know, Southern Oregon. But what we need to tell those sophomores and juniors is that there's so many. I mean, they know that the teams that are in the Final Four. They know the teams that were in their bracket.
Okay, Loyola.
Right.
A little bit for the cause there. Yeah.
Right.
But so I think that was one of the cool things. And it's not like I've been of an assistance for a lot of kids, but for those is, okay, let's really just look at the country.
Right.
And start considering, you know, Oregon is one that a lot of people have a soft touch to. Well, Washington isn't that much further away.
Right.
And it's a whole different dynamic, and it's a whole different alumni set, and it's you walk the campus, it's a different campus. So don't limit yourself. Let's start looking at what is your dream job?
Right.
What do you need for it? And then kind of back that into the schools and then see where you want to go.
Yeah, I was up in Seattle for 12 years, and we've in my time at St. Bernard's have sent kids to University of Washington just about every year. They do well, and it's nice that they have, you know, their old classmates up to bum around with a little bit. But it's UW is a fantastic school, and it is just a little bit further. You're looking at maybe a 13-hour drive if you were coming back home, but you know you can do that. And now with flights, maybe you're grabbing a flight, you know, all the way down into
from there to Medford and then drive.
Yeah, it's not bad.
3-hour drive.
It's a 3-hour drive, so it's doable. But you're exactly right, and I think for many kids, you think about that weekend to come home and do some laundry, or that weekend to come home and get some of that home cooking. But if you can wait till winter break, or if you can wait till spring break, then hey, let's do it.
Are there a lot of colleges now, Paul, that are teaching full class schedules during summertime?
Oh yeah. It's a money game, right? I think you even see this here at Humboldt. It's tough. Everything's impacted. It's tough to get the classes you want. So now you made it through that doorway that was so small, and now you're there with the other students, and now you want to go through this doorway, but you know there's a whole bunch that want to go there. So summer does become a spot where you can, you know, grab some units, maybe get that professor that you can't get to.
Well, I'm thinking that's also a cost reduction, because now you don't have the dorms for that last year or living in accommodations because you're compressing it down. I'm thinking project out 4 years of minimum wage in California. Yeah, right.
There's
going to be a whole lot less jobs here for the kids to try to get, you know, to offset the educational costs. Now, maybe in the community where they're going to stay at, they could work their way through a little bit, but taking classes during summertime also, instead of this 10 or 12-week vacation, really
it's a great
is a good planner for them to at least consider.
Especially if their university sets them up in Oxford, Cambridge.
Yeah, sure, fine.
Hey, no, I'm not.
I can't even spell Oxford. Oh, it's 8:30.
What could we we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's, I'll say it one time only, Academy.
St. Bernard's High School. Good to be here.
Thank you very much, sir. Talk Shop presented by Redec, by CDH Painting, by American Egg Credit, and Lolita Cheese Company. This time of the year, it's a fundraising opportunity. It's a planning opportunity. Kids are getting excited either about school or about summertime, about next year. A lot of the enthusiasm is there. How do you focus on what you got to do for the next little bit of time to finish off, to get ready for, and to still punch out what needs to be punched out?
That is the question. You want to be in the moment with the kids. You always want to have full attention for your students. Otherwise, you miss that they're having a tough day. Or you miss that they're having a great day.
Yeah, the joys.
Yeah, you walk right by them because you're thinking about the fact that you're triple scheduled for the next block of time. And so that's, we did a great professional development with staff. Our art teacher led it around, why did we get into teaching, right? And what's different now that we're in it? And then she had us, and it changes.
Reality. Significant difference.
But you have control over. Have control. And so, what are the words that capture the career you want, the connection you want? And one of the words as I work through this professional development for me is joy. Like if you show up at the door in the morning ready to have fun, ready to make kids smile and laugh, I mean, the day goes so quickly because you're doing exactly what you want to be doing. And it rubs off on the kids. Nothing's better than running a class and having them smiling and laughing back at and learning at the same time. It's completely possible. It doesn't have to be drudgery or prison. So I think that's first, you have to have focus with your day. And then second, in my position, I have to give people time and listen. If I'm not listening to the teachers and to the parents, to community members, we're not going to get better, right? It's not about what I want to get better. It's about what needs, I surveyed our international kids last week. I surveyed the teachers a few weeks ago. I need that input. I'll sit in on meetings. I'll have one-on-one with every teacher this coming month.
Hey, customer focus.
Customer focus. Yeah. And that goes for parents too. I've got a board member that's saying, hey, Paul, you got to meet with every single parent this spring. And I'm thinking of my schedule and thinking, oh, that's not possible. But really, why isn't it possible? And what could I learn? And what could we do and grow as a system if every one of those customers can come in, 20 minutes, 30 minutes? This is going well.
It doesn't have
well.
To be 5 hours.
It doesn't have to be 5 hours. And then this is where the answer to your question breaks down. You have to act. You can't have all these meetings and not act. And we spent 9 hours on Saturday strategic planning around a couple of our programs, and out of that came 40 action items. Well, if those 40 action items, sit in a spreadsheet, we're not getting any better. In fact, we'll get worse. But if we meet weekly and knock those actions off, you can't help but get better.
Well, everything's an ROI. Now, if your investment is your time, okay, you still need to get a return for that time that's there. If you have 40, I would suggest if you punched out the top 7 or 8 critical ones, that's a win.
It is a win.
You don't need to clear the slate. You'll be chasing, that last little gum wrapper that's rolling around in the parking lot. Well, okay, fine. Is that the best use of your time?
Sometimes that gum wrapper really bugs me, Ryan.
Well, now I understand. Now it's a personal thing.
I think it reflects on you. If you're walking, there's a superintendent I worked with 20 years ago, and he'd come onto campus, and I mean, he was counting every loose piece of paper before he got to the principal's office. It's like, no, you got to care about
light bulbs. And
I mean, when you come home at night, how many gum wrappers are on the carpet in your living room? I'm guessing zero every night.
Unless
night
the
after
dogs
night.
Really had fun.
Then it's going to be a rough one for everybody.
Yeah. Now you got a major, I don't know if it's a social event.
It's a social event.
Or if it's
event.
A fundraiser, because I know where it started, because I was there then. But where it's evolved into, there are certain events throughout the year that the communities have. Every community has mm-hmm. them. That may have started out for one reason, and they've evolved into other things also, which I think gives it longevity, gives it a spark, a spontaneity, a liveliness to it. And it becomes something people look forward to rather than the drudgery of having to or the panic of having to.
Absolutely. And thank you again for starting such a great event. Brian's talking about our Cash Bash. It is a major fundraiser, but it's a destination. It's a social event. The theme this year is Pirates of the Caribbean. So start thinking about your
now,
pirate
is this Disney,
costume.
Disneyland's Pirates, where everything's been PC'd?
You know,
or are you talking about swashbuckling?
I don't know. Having been through with some students the Pirates of the Caribbean ride recently, I don't know that
Disney,
it's all
Disney,
PC.
No.
I don't know.
You Disney, Florida, and Paris were the first two that got nailed. And
oh, no, yeah. LA is yeah. pretty fun. There's some fun in LA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a chance to come out, sit down dinner, chance to win $10,000. Tickets are $150. You can get them online at St. Bernard's or call the school. But it is, going back to joy and laughter, it is a night of fun. There'll be casino-style promotional gambling, live auction, silent auction, raffles. It's just nonstop.
And just hanging around with a bunch of, and having a fun evening.
Having a fun evening.
I think that's, for a lot of fundraisers, I think people forget the fun.
You know, and our community gives and gives and gives again. And it's always nice to just kind of take that responsibility off when you come through the door and just know you're going to have a good time.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We will be back.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 845. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan. Paul, most schools, whether it's collegiate, like we were talking about earlier, or even, I guess, in some instances, junior highs, have got halls of fame.
Right.
And they have different definitions of them and what it takes to qualify. I know SB has got, because I've seen it, mm-hmm. a hall of fame. And sometime around this time of the year, you guys do special recognition. I guess that's what it would be considered as much as anything, because it's not an athletic hall of fame. It's a hall of fame. What do you look for in the selection process? I know it's not just you, but
right.
What do you look for? What types of people are you looking to recognize?
Year after year, the alumni team really gravitates towards those graduates or friends of the school that continue to serve the community. It doesn't have to be the St. Bernard's community, but they are making a difference, and they're making a difference week after week, and they're tireless about it. Well, one of our inductees this year, Sharon Falk Carlson, is a graduate, you know, longtime teacher, and she just never stopped helping out. And she will be at nearly every sporting event, every rally. She's in the hallways, and she takes spectacular photos and then spends hours polishing those photos, and then for free hands them over to the school. For free hands them over to the families. Graduation photos. She just likes being connected, and she's making a difference. I mean, she's a perfect person. You know, it's all her own money, from the camera to the computer to the time, and she's doing it for kids. Dennis Catry, another graduate. Denny, he sat at the scorer's table for years. He goes out and mows the lawn to get it ready for football games, lines the soccer field. It's just nonstop. I mean, he's a grandfather now of a current senior. He's not grumpy about it. You walk up to him and thank him. He's already got a smile on his face.
It's fun.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, they just did a study.
Or the joy that you were referencing in the last segment.
Social interaction and connection is one of the things that helps us live longer because it makes life worth living. Life is tough. Life is hard. But if you're connected to a community and you're helping people out, it's like, hey, you've got something to do tomorrow. People are counting on you. I mean, we have a big tournament. Daniel'll sit there and do every single game in a tournament. I mean, that's a long haul. And he's doing it without
for the hot dogs. Not the glory.
For
the hot dogs, yeah.
Jason Gable and Cab continue to make an awesome hot dog. So, I mean, it's not quite a Dodger dog, but, you know.
Thankfully.
Yeah, so we're also recognizing. I heard that.
I understand you. Some folks understand, but.
Yeah, there's a little Dodger Giant thing going on here.
Yeah, well, and the fact that your dad played for him.
He did. Yeah. He did pitch for him, and he's a good guy, too. Still pitching coach at St. Bernard's 30 plus years, still helping those kids. He was one of the first guys that got recognized years and years ago. Madeline Smith, longtime librarian and a graduate, will get recognized. She's showing up with her walker. Tuesday morning before anyone at school. Paul, I need my own key because I'm going to get here before everyone and get it ready. Absolutely, Madeline, you can have it. And then Babs and Stan Francis, you know, everyone knows Babs and Stan from the restaurant to the ice cream man. And if someone has a tragedy in their life, Babs putting on a spaghetti dinner. I mean, she's going to help raise $10,000 for anyone if it's going to help out their family. So, what's fun about the night is that you bring in the St. Bernard's community and the friends of the community, and you just celebrate, you know, people that are doing. It's just nice to celebrate someone that's doing a good job, being a good human being.
Yeah, the joy.
It's the joy, right?
Yeah.
And all that money, thanks to Julie Green, all that money goes to scholarships for kids, so the whole family keeps growing, and the kids that can't quite afford a St. Bernard's education, which, by the way, is you know, discounted down about 70% from a private education in Santa Rosa. This scholarship fund helps get kids and keep kids at St. Bernard's.
Cool. And I suppose you have a website too. If anybody missed anything we have, you could look up St. Bernard's Eureka and find all the good stuff.
St. Bernard's Eureka, stbernards.us.
Maybe even your smiley face.
You know, I've got to look into that. I don't know that I'm anywhere near the homepage.
All right. Well, that might be by design too, baby.
Look at the kids. Don't look at me.
See everybody tomorrow.